All right, so we'll say good morning. I want to make sure it gets recorded. All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf dalet. So we left off, if you remember, yeah, we actually left off in the middle of a sugya. The ein achim v'ashutz, when we actually picked up, I believe, Ela Ema, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So if you remember, again, we left off yesterday with a discussion about the bias that is pachos midalet al dalet. It's less than 4 amos. And the Gemara was discussing all of the various things that such a structure is exempted from if it's less than dalet amos. So one of the things that we discussed, that the Bryce discussed, is that if that is jointly owned by partners, neither owner could go ahead and force the other to divide it. So the Gemara said that can't be the simple meaning, because we've established elsewhere that partners can't force each other to dissolve a partnership interest unless, of course, there's at least dalet amos for each of them after the division. So therefore, the Gemara says, rather, what must it mean? Ela ima, ein bo din chaluki ki chaser. It doesn't have the law of a division like a chaser. What does that mean? Do amar Rav Huna, chaser lefi psacheha mischalekes. Rav Chista amar nosin lechol echad ve'echad. Nosin lechol echad ve'echad. Pesach arba amos. So we'll say the Gemara here records a fundamental machlokas as to how to divide up space within a chatzar. Rav Huna says that the way you divide up space within a chatzar is each and every entranceway gets its own space. And Rav Chista says that you go ahead and you give let me show you this. Take a look at the picture. It's easier for me to describe with the picture. So we'll say take a look at picture number 16. So this is Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that chatzar l'tip sachah mischalekes. So Rashi points out over here that the case is the following. You have two brothers that go ahead and inherit property from their father. One receives 3 small homes and one receives much larger home. So according to Rav Huna, the way the chatzar is divided up is in proportion to the number of entrances you have into the chatzar. So for example, the brother who gets the 3 homes, Lemaisa again, will get 3/4 of the chatzar, versus the one who has the 1 large home will ultimately get 1/4 of the chatzar. On the other hand, if you look at picture 17, Rav Chista amar nosin lechol pesach u'pesach arba amos, v'ashar cholkin v'shav. According to Rav Chista, every entranceway gets dalet amos of space in the chatzar. And I will say the reason for that is an entranceway always needs space. Why does an entranceway need space? For loading, unloading, things like that. Just basic use of the house requires at least dalet amos by the chatzar, by the entrance. So according to Rav Chista, you go in and get dalet amos for every entrance, and the rest of the chatzar, independent of the dalet amos before the entrance, is divided up equally among the partners or among the sons. So the Gemara suggests over here. So the Gemara suggests Rav Chista amar nosin lechol pesach u'pesach arba amos v'ashar cholkin oso b'shava. Dahani mili bias dilemehami koi ahivna lechatzer. Hai dilemisar koi lo yahavina lechatzer. And therefore the Gemara explains that it's only by a bias which ultimately is meant to remain standing and meant to remain used that this machlokes etin Rav Huna and Rav Chista exists. But a home that is less than dalet amos, Rav Chista, which again serves no function. Therefore, lemistarkoi means it is only to be demolished and destroyed. Lo kayahabina lechatzer. We do not go ahead and give this individual who might own this home that is less than dalet amos any room or any space within the chatzer itself. So, Rav Chista, again, remember, the Gemara is not weighing in on the machlokes in Rav Huna and Rav Chista. The Gemara is not telling us who's right in that machlokes. But the Gemara, however, is telling us that the machlokes only applies in a case of where you have a structure that is at least dalet al dalet. If it's less than dalet al dalet, both Rav Huna and Rav Chista agree it gets no space in the chatzer. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara, Haisa gavah me'esrim amah, u'bal lema'ata b'karmi kisos. Well, it's another very interesting case. You now have a sukkah. We're now going to deal with a couple of different cases where I have a sukkah that is fundamentally problematic, but I want to go ahead and somehow remedy that. I want to somehow fix it. So here I have a sukkah that's lema'ata me'esrim amah. What do I want to do with it? This is picture 18. I want to decrease the airspace by essentially building up the ground with karmi kisos, with mattresses. So that's my case over here, number 18. I'm putting mattresses on the floor, so I'm building up the floor, thereby diminishing the airspace. So the Gemara says, lo habimiyot, it doesn't work. Rashi says, last Rashi, not lo habimiyut, she'in sofo lahaniach sham kol zayin mipnei hefsid mamono. Because in order for something to be a miyut, in order for something to become part of the structure, I have to be willing to leave it there for all 7 days of Pesach. Because one is not going to leave their mattresses in there. Because again, Lamaisa, remember, this is not talking about mattresses we're going to sleep on per se. This is talking about something that you're doing in order to minimize the airspace. Mattresses are expensive. A person is not going to leave it in there no matter what happens. It's not bottled to the sukkah. And because of that, it doesn't become part of the structure. Because it does not become part of the structure, therefore it does not diminish airspace. Stop of Dalit. Va'af al-gav dibatlinu. And Abosai. So let's say I say, you know what? I am mevatel it. I go ahead, hinli mukhanu mezuman. I am leaving, doing in front of a base. Then I'm leaving my mattresses in the sukkah for all 7 days. It still doesn't work. Why? Mishun de batla daito itzel kol adam. Because once we have a concept like this in halacha, that sometimes we do not care about what your subjective das is, but we look at what the general objective das of people is. And the general objective das of people is that people are not willingly incurring a loss by leaving mattresses out for 7 days no matter what. Therefore, even though you say you're going to do it, at the end of the day, your das is bottled to what the general conventional wisdom of people is, not to leave such things out in the sukkah for 7 days. The Gemara goes weiter. Teven ubitlo. I will say again, same case. I have a sukkah that is lamala me'esrim amo, and now I want to go ahead and diminish the height. So what do? I take straw, and I'm mevatel it. Now I will say, what does it mean to be mevatel? Let's take a look at Rashi. Temenu bitlo befiv. So literally, I say, I mean, whatever the formulation is, but I'm being mevatel the straw. Which essentially means is I have no intentions of removing this straw from within my sukkah. I'm leaving it here for all 7 days. Havimiyot. The Gemara says that works. It was like, because again, straw is something that people do leave lying around, and therefore not a problem. The choshe came afaru bitla, and all the more so if I actually fill up the bottom of the sukkah with dirt, thereby diminishing the airspace to less than 20, and I go ahead and I say that I'm leaving the dirt there, of course that works as well. What about the interesting case? What about teven, ve'in asid lifnoso, va'afar stam? What about straw? And my intention is not to remove it. Now I will say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Teven vein asa lifnoso. Velo yitztarech lifnoso kemeichag. So I have extra straw. I'm not going to need it for the duration of Sukkot. However, mihu lo bitlo mamish befiv. But you know what? I didn't expressly articulate that I'm leaving the straw in there. Meaning, so as opposed to Rabbosai in the first case, where I'm saying the penbali, I'm literally saying that again, I'm leaving the straw in there, I'm not taking it out. In this case, I didn't make any explicit articulation. I didn't say anything all that specific. All I said was what? All I said was that, I didn't say anything. I'm just leaving it there, and my das is that I'm going to leave it there. And Afarstam, the case of Afarstam Rabosai, is where I put dirt in the on the floor of the sukkah in order to diminish the airspace. But again, I don't say anything. I'm not sure if I'm going to have to end up taking it out or not. So what happens in those cases? So again, remember, in a case of teven ubitlo, afar ubitlo, in a case of where I'm putting straw on the floor or I'm putting dirt on the floor to diminish the airspace, and I mamish say bepemole, I say explicitly that I'm leaving it here, I'm not removing it for all 7 days. Everyone agrees in that case, it works. It works. Just like everyone agrees that in the cases of the mattresses, it does not work. The shaila is now, I'm putting in straw. And I didn't. My intention is I'm not going to go ahead and move it, but I didn't see anything explicitly. Or with dirt, I put it in there, and the truth is I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with it over the course of the 7 days. What happens in those cases? The Gemara says, Machlokes Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon. This is a subject of Machlokes Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon. How so? This time, Bayis, Shemil'ou Eben Otsuoros. If you have a home that was filled with straw, or Otsuoros literally are pebbles, Ubitlo, and you're Mevatel, those objects, those items in the house, Mevotel. Then it's bottle, meaning it becomes part of the structure itself. Bitlo, so I will say, listen to this. So what is this talking about? Look at Rashi. Bayish Shemilu Tevin Otros Bitlo is a very interesting case. So the Gemara says, Le'inyan Ohalos Tinan. This is talking about the laws of an Ohel, the laws of a structure for Tuma and Tara purposes. The Gemara says, Sheyeshla Ohel Chaval Tepach, Eino Bokhas Lembala Minagag, Aval Tuma Ritzutza. The Dibokas va'ola v'chin halacha l'moshe misneh. So also listen to this. There's an interesting halacha l'moshe misneh where it says the following. If you have tumah in a house, the halacha is the following. If there is a tapach of airspace between the mace, between the mace and let's say the roof, so then l'maisa, again, that airspace keeps the tumah trapped inside. However, if there is no airspace, then tumah is ola ubokas ad l'rakia. Then tumah ascends all the way up. Tumah ascends straight up ad l'shamayim. So the Gemara says over here, Hilchach bayis sheish b'meis. Therefore, if you have a home in which there is a corpse, o kizayis min ha-meis, for that matter, it doesn't even have to be a whole corpse, but part of a corpse. Umil uhu teven otzros ubitlo havion retzutsu ubokas aval lo bitlo. Listen to this. So the Maaseh of the Gemara says, if I have a corpse in a home, and then I fill that home with straw. So what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, if I'm mevatel the straw, and I intend to leave the straw there, therefore what? The whole home is filled. If the whole home is filled, then what? There is no tefach of space. If there's no tefach of space, then what? Then the tumah ascends straight up. However, if I'm not mevatalit, then what? Then what does the halacha seem to say? If I'm not mevatalit, then it's almost as if the tevin is not there. Now, for tumah purposes, that's good, because what that means is there's space then between the mace and the roof, and therefore the mace, so again, it keeps the tumah contained. For our purposes, what we pick up on this is bitlo in, lo bitlo lo. Now, what comes out according to this price is what Rabbi said. The clear inference seems to be that lemaisa, the only time that the straw or the dirt is considered to be a part, or I should say the straw, the pebbles, are considered to be a part of the structure is when you're actively mavatal it. But if you're not actively mavatal it, then what? Then what? Then it's not part of the structure. Which Rabbi Osai, again, for our purposes in Sukkah, would seem to mean that offer stam, or teben ne'ein osid lifnoso, would not work. When I say would not work, would not become part of the structure, would not diminish the airspace of a circle of malami esrim amo, to which the Gemara says, bitlo and lo bitlo lo, to which the Gemara says, v'tani alon, we learned about this, Rabbi Yossi says, teven ve'in osid lifnoso, if you have straw, and your intention is not to remove it in the future. So again, I didn't explicitly say this, but that's my mindset. Hari hu ka'afar stam, ubatal. That becomes like regular dirt, and it's bottle. So also Rabbi Yossi weighs in, and he says that teven ve'in osid lifnoso. So again, remember, this: if I have straw, and I don't explicitly articulate that I'm not going to remove it, but my intention is I'm not going to remove it, Rabbi Yossi says, that's like offer stam, plain dirt. And also the assumption with dirt is where you place it is what? Where you're going to leave it. That's the assumption. That's why offer stam, even without any intent, is automatically considered to be part of the structure. So Rabbi Yossi suggests that teven ve'in asid lifnoso is like offer stam. Ubato, offer v'asid lifnoso, but if you have dirt and your intention at some future point is to remove it, Hari hu kistam teven velo batil. It's like plain teven, meaning stam teven, where you have no intentions about it, and therefore it's not batil. Okay.
You have to say that. Which one do you have to say? In other words, if you pour the dirt and don't say anything, is it considered abandoned?
Correct. The idea is dirt is the one thing that seems to work without any kind of explicit intent. Teven, however, requires some level of intent.
What's the difference between stam teven and teven that's lava?
So stam tevin could just be tevin with no intentions at all. Tevin below asid lifnoso means, or tevin below asid lifnoso means, I'm going to remove it, but I might not remove it now.
Yeah,
I might
hear it now.
Correct. I want to hear it now, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it in the future. But v'haisa gavah me'esm amo. So we'll say what happens. Sukkah was taller than 20 amos. Next case. Tevin. So we'll say what comes out from this case. By the way, just the halacha lemaisa from here is that tevinu bitlo is havimiyut, and offeru bitlo is havimiyut. So again, if I put in straw, I have to be mevatel the straw. That's the only way it really works. Is like I have to be mevatel the straw. Offer seems to work even without any kind of bitlo. Next case. Haisa gavah me'esrim amo, v'hutzin yardin b'sochkar. What's another very interesting case? I have a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos, but some of the skach extends into the 20s. So we'll say you have this picture in your packet. This is picture number 19. So there's my sukkah l'malam me'esrim amo, but my skach extends into the 20, which means, Rabbi Osai, that if you measure the airspace from the bottom of the skach,
do I do more?
Yeah. Okay, so as I say, you have schach that extends now. So if you measure the air sukkah, here's what it comes down to. If you measure from the top major layer of the schach, the sukkah is lamal me'aser mama. If you measure from the schach protrusions, then lamaisa again the sukkah is not lamal me'aser mama. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, if the schach that extends down into the 20, if that schach provides more shade than sun, i.e., it's kasher schach, then the sukkah is kasher. The imlo, however, again, if the schach that extends into the 20 does not provide more shade than sun, then the maisa, again, it's not considered valid schach, and therefore the sukkah will be pasul. Next case. If a sukkah was only 10 tefachim high, v'hutzin yardin l'soch yud. Now, we'll say again, actually, there's no picture of this one. And now what happens? The skach protrudes into the yud. So now, again, remember, we'll say the minimum shear for a sukkah, the minimum height for a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So now what happens? I have exactly a 10 tefach high sukkah, and my skach extends into the 10 tefachim. So the shaila is now, does the skach protrusion pasul the sukkah? So the Gemara says, Savra Abai, remember, Abai wanted to say, Im chamasa meruba mitzilasam, if ultimately the schach protrusions provide more shade than sun, which Shabbos is another way of saying that it's schach kosher, if there's more sun than shade, which means what? That lamaisa, it was not good schach, the schach protrusions does not form its own layer of schach, then kshira, then the sukkah is good, because lamaisa, the sukkah still has the requisite shear of 10 tefachim. Amrali, Rava says, no, it's not going to work. Why? Hadira sruchi. Rava says, because such a structure literally is a compromise. Srucha literally means putrid or disgusting. Rava says, this is a compromise structure. Nobody, meaning, a 10 tefachim is small enough as it is. If you have a 10 tefach structure in which schach is sticking into it, thereby limiting your mobility even more, such a structure is not even called a proper structure, and therefore the sukkah would not be good. The ain of them dar, but dira srucha. A person doesn't live even temporarily in a dira srucha. Next, haisa gavo me esar. Now we're going to get into some really fascinating cases. I have a sukkah now that is taller than 20 amos. If you have friends who are not here yet, now is the time to text them because they want to get here on the base. It's good. Did we do that already?
I did.
Okay, good. So the Gemara says the following: haisa gavo me esar amos. If you have a sukkah that is taller than 20 amos. Ubana ba itztava kinegedofen ha'imtsoi. And you build a bosai in itztava. Itztava is a platform. And you're building the platform opposite the what they call the middle wall. And I will say again, so just for our purposes over here, just imagine we're dealing with a sukkah with three walls. You know, we haven't spoken about the minimum shear for the walls of a sukkah. Let's assume right now three walls is enough. So all I have is three walls. I'm building an itztava. This is actually picture 20. I'm building an itztava by what they call the middle wall. Now I will say the middle wall is literally the wall that touches the other two. So meaning if you look at picture 20, you're standing at the entranceway of the sukkah. There's no door, it's just that the fourth side is totally open. I'm standing by the fourth side, I'm looking in. That back wall is called the middle wall, and I build an itztava. I build a platform against that middle wall that spans the distance from the two side walls. So essentially, that itztava touches all three walls. It touches it's because it's flush against the back wall and it touches the two side walls. Now both said that itztava, obviously when you stand on that itztava, what happens? You have less than 20 amos of airspace. All right, so now watch this. The yesh ba hechsher sukkah, and let's assume for a moment that itztava has the minimum dimensions of a sukkah, which is how much? 7 by 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So now what happens? Well, so this is amazing. Kshera. The halacha is the sukkah is kasher. The sukkah is kasher. Now, both sides, there's an interesting discussion here. If you look at Rashi, and again, we don't have time to get into this now, but Rashi says, Kshera kol ha-sukkah. Now, both sides, here's what's interesting. When you see this case, so you would say to yourself, okay, what's kasher? What's kasher in this case? On the platform. Rashi says, no, it's not true. It's not just the platform. The entire sukkah is kosher. The presence of that platform allows the rest of the sukkah to be kosher. We'll come back and we'll discuss that more in greater depth a little bit later. So Kshera. So Gemara says, my kamashon, what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush? De aminon, I'm sorry, I skipped. Case number two is what? I'm not building the itztava in the middle. I'm not building it against the back wall, but instead, where am I building it? Look at picture 21. I'm building it against one of the side walls. One of the side walls. And what? Im yesh misfas itztava lekosel dalet amos. If there's more than dalet amos, we'll say from where? Now let's look at picture 21. If there's more than dalet amos or more from the itztava to the other side wall, because remember the itztava in this case is only touching two of the walls. It's touching the side wall and the middle wall, but we have to somehow connect it to the other side wall as well. So if it's less than dalet amos from the itztava to the other side wall, then what? Then If it's dalet amos or more, the sukkah's pasul. Pachos mi arba amos kshira, but less than dalet amos, the sukkah's kasher. My kamash malam. The rabbi say, what's the chiddush over here? Da aminon dofen akuma. The rabbi say, now we come to one of the most interesting halachah l'moshe misinais in Hilchos Sukkah, which is dofen akuma. The rabbi say, dofen akuma literally means the bent wall. What does it mean, the bent wall? There is a halachah l'moshe misinais that says the following: that if you have a wall that is within dalid amas of let's say a certain area of the sukkah, that lamaisa, we view the wall itself as being a bent. So for example, over here, if you look at picture 21, picture 21 is not the best picture for this, but imagine just for a moment, instead of it saying arba amos on the bottom, it said pachos mi arba amos. Let's say for a moment, this itztava is considered to be, is within four amos of the opposite wall. So the halacha l'moshe misinai would say that we view that wall, that right-hand wall, as extending upwards and going across. To the point that, what does that mean? That the schach in between the wall and the itztava is considered to be, it's not called schach. What does that look like? That's considered to be wall. And I will say, what does that do effectively? That effectively goes in and creates one cohesive sukkah. Now I will say, the obvious shy that's going to be is what happens if you eat underneath that area. So we'll discuss that. There's a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Ran about what the dynamics of Dofen Akuma do. Because Rashi said before in the previous case that apparently when you have this type of concept, it can render the entire sukkah kosher. We'll see if he holds that by Dofen Akuma. But Lamaisa, again, for now, at least what it tells us is that if the other wall is within Dalet Amos of the Itztava, it creates a bent wall type of dynamic and makes the sukkah kosher. So the Gemara says, so my Kamash on Damir Lecha Dofen Akuma, so is that the Chiddush? That we say Dofen Akuma. After, I'm going to show you a better Dofen Akuma picture in just a moment. We already learned that. Tanina, Bayis Sheniftach Besichech Al Gabav. Rabbi say, here's the better Dofen Akuma picture. Turn to the next page, 22. This is the better one. It's like an Art Deco Sukkah over here. So Rabbi say, so what happens? This is dealing with the case of a person who has like a retractable roof. So if you can imagine for a moment, I have a retractable roof. I put a little schach on top of my roof. So what's the halacha? Bayis sheniftach, a home whose roof was opened up. V'sichech al gabav, and I place my schach on the roof. Im yesh min hakosel l'sichuch dalet amos, if there is dalet amos somewhere between the wall and the schach, psula, the schach is pasul. Ha pachos mikan, but less than dalet amos from the schach to the wall. Kshira, halacha is kashna mos. And here's this is a better illustration of Dofen Akuma. So look at this. Now look at 22. So I have the schach in the middle. The problem is schach on a sukkah only works if what? You need schach, and what else do you need? You need the fanos. You need walls. So the question is, can I connect those side walls through the schach? So the Gemara says it depends. What does it depend on? Distance. If the walls are within dalet amos of the schach, and Abos again, this is a halacha l'moshe misinai. So why does it work? Why does it work? Because God said it works, right? So again, I will say, I don't know if there's a logic. It works. So if the walls are within dalet amos of the schach, then we view ultimately again that ceiling as an extension of the wall. That ceiling, dofna kuma, literally means a bent or a crooked wall. That ceiling is an extension of the wall, and therefore what that effectively does is brings those walls in close proximity to the schach. Now, Rabbi Osai, whether or not, this case is more dramatic, whether or not you could actually eat under that ceiling is a discussion. Because look, if you're telling me that the whole thing is sukkah now, then I might say maybe I can. On the other hand, no. Maybe what we're saying is it counts as wall. You can't eat under wall. So we'll see. That's Machlokes Rashi and Ran, which we'll deal with later on. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do you have to teach me this case of the itztava if all you're coming to teach me is the law of Dofen Akuma? We already learned. We'll see also. This is the Mishnah later on. We'll learn about Tofen Akuma. So why do you have to illustrate this in a different way? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Ma'udetema, I might have said the following. Hasam hu dechazila dofen. I might have said the following. Why does the case of Tofen Akuma work in picture 22? Why does it work there, Rabbi Osei? Because there I have halachically valid defanos. I have halachically valid walls. And maybe the halacha Moshe Misnei of Tofen Akuma only works when? In a case where there are halachically valid walls. Aval hocha de lo chazila dofen, emalo. But I might have thought that here, Rabbi Osei, what's here? Here is picture 21. Here, I don't have a halachically fit wall. Why don't I have a halachically fit wall? Because it's lamala me'esrim amo. Because it's a wall that's taller than 20 amo. So I might have thought the halamina is that dofen akuma only works when, come on people, you got to give me something to work with. You got to give me a wall that's usable. Dofen akuma says you can have a wall that's technically usable. We can make it a bent wall and allow it to connect with the schach. But if the wall is not a kosher wall to begin with, like in the case of Lamalame Esrim Amo, maybe I wouldn't say Dofen Akuma. Kamash Mulan, I can even say Dofen Akuma in a case of a wall that's Lamalame Esrim Amo. Next. Now watch this. So I have another case. This is picture 23. I have a sukkah that's 12 and 20 amos, and I build a platform in the middle. That's pretty, I don't know if you guys, I apologize. You know, when you look at it in the color, it looks much better. Copying loose on it. But if you look closely in 23, you'll notice there's a platform there in the middle. So I build a platform in the middle of the sukkah. Im yesh misfas itztava, uledofen arba amos. I'm going to say again, obviously, whenever we're talking about the case of the itztava, it goes without saying that what are the dimensions of the itztava?
7 by 7,
right? The itztava always has the minimum dimensions of a sukkah itself, of the area of a sukkah. So what happens? I build the itztava in the middle. So what does the Gemara say? Imish misvas itztava dofen arba amos ruach beruach psula pachos me arba amos ksheira. So what's the halacha? The halacha is as long as there is less than dalad amos from the itztava to every wall, because now this itztava is in the middle, it's not flush against any of the walls. The sukkah is kosher, because we'll say dofen akuma. But again, if it's more than dalad amos, then the sukkah will be pasul. Why? Because very nice, you have an itztava, but what don't you have? You don't have defanos, you don't have walls. To which the Gemara says, my kamashlon, what's the chiddush? Tamrin and dofen akuma, hainuhach. So what's the chiddush? Is the chiddush teaching that there's a concept of dofen akuma? We learned about dofen akuma already. No. The Gemara is like this. This is fascinating. We'll say, Malatim, what would I have said? Dofen akuma ruach achos. I might have said, when do we say dofen akuma? Dofen akuma works from one direction. From one direction, or maybe at most, based on the previous case, maybe two. However, aval kol ruach v'ruach lo. But who says that the halacha Moshe Sinai says that mamish you can go ahead and you could use dofen akuma in every single direction? I would have thought you can't do that. Kamashon, that's not the case. So I said, Kamashon, we have a concept of dofen akuma, and Kamashon, that you could even use dofen akuma in what? In every single direction. Which I will say we'll see is actually the paradigmatic case of dofen akuma. That's picture 22, which is going to be the Mishnah of dofen akuma, is actually when you are using it from every single direction. Okay, but Lamai say again, the Havamina is dofen akuma maybe works in one direction, Kamashon, it even works in all directions. Amazing. We'll see another great case. Right, you have a sukkah that is less than 10 tefachim tall, and what happens? The chakak ba kedei lahashlima. 24 Rabbos say, what happens? You now in the previous cases you had an issue with too much height. Here it's too low. It's right. Yeah. So what do? You dig out. You know, by the way, if this happens, you just go buy a new sukkah. But again, I have a sentimental attachment to this sukkah. It was my, you know, okay, whatever it is. So what happens? So here you can see in picture 24, I have a sukkah that's only 9 tefachim high. So what do I need to do? I need to dig out. I'm excavating. I'm going to dig out a tefach of space. So I'm creating additional height by digging down. So what's that? So here's the issue. So obviously, for whatever reason, I'm not digging out the entire area of the sukkah. Right? Maybe because the sukkah is very large, but I don't want to dig out the entire area. So what happens? So now, but the problem is, I need to use the walls of the sukkah. So what does the Gemara say? Im yesh misfas chakak ulekosel gimel tefachim psula. If there is more than 3 tefachim between the what do you call this area? The chakak. What's the good word? The what? The ditch. Pit, excavation. Good, Michael, you're 2 for 2 today. Solitary excavation, right? good. So if you, this is actually for sukkah, this is going to be social excavation. So now, so what happens if there is more than three tefachim? So also remember, three tefachim is the shear of lavud. That's another halacha l'moshe misina that says that if something is within three tefachim to something else, they are considered to be connected. So if the excavation is within three tefachim to the wall, then lemaisa again, it's good. If it's more than three tefachim to the wall, I'm sorry, I read this wrong. If there's more than three tefachim from the excavation to the wall, then psula, amud beis, pachos mishlosha tefachim. However, again, if there's less than three tefachim from the excavation to the wall, then kshera, then halacha lemaisa, it works. And Rashi says over here, it works. Why? Kilavud, halacha lemoshe misinai. Because out of the laws of Lavud, Rav Moshe again, Lavud said that if two things are within three tefachim of each other, they are connected based on a Sinaitic law. And Rav Moshe, what happens? When you employ the law of Lavud, Lavud says that what? So Rav Moshe, if you look in 20:24, so we see a little bit of space over there between the excavation and the wall. As long as that space is less than three tefachim, halachically it's as if what? That space does not exist. So Rav Moshe, what's going on over here? Maishna hasam de pachos me arba amos. So the Gemara has a very interesting kasha. Why is it by the case of the Itztava, what happened? The Itztava case only worked if what? If the platform was less than Dalit Amos from the wall. Why in the Itztava case, when you wanted to say Dofan Akuma, the Mais again was at 4 Amos, and yet over here you're saying 3 Tvachim? Someone says, I'll tell you why. Hasam di'isei l'dofen. Now, Bosa, you have to understand something. The Dofen Akuma case of Dalet Amos is a much greater kula. Right? Because remember, again, I both say, Dalet Amos is a significant amount of space. Right? Dalet Amos is what? About 6 feet. Three Tefachim is about what? Three Tefachim is less than a foot. Maybe close to a foot. So Gemara is saying, why is it that in the case of the Sukkah that's Pachos Miyud, so the excavation has to be within a foot of the wall, and yet by Dofen Akuma, Lemaisa could be 6 feet. What's the pshat? I'll tell you why. Hasam diisei ledofen pachos me arba amos sagya. Hacha. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara, by the case of Dofen Akuma, what do you have? You have a wall, a legal wall. Now again, I'll say, remember, I will say, but it's lamalame esramala. That's okay, because that for halacha, the definition of a wall is a wall, is a usable wall. And in halacha, leaving aside sukkah, lamalame esramala is still a usable wall. So the Gemara says, essentially, by Dofen Akuma, by the case of the Itztava, I have a usable wall. And therefore, because I have a usable wall, I could be more flexible in terms of displacing from that wall. Hacha, the Shavuye Dofen. But Rabbi said, in this case over here, I don't have a usable wall. Right? In this case over here, what do I have? In this case over here, I have a wall that's pachos miyud. Rabosai, a wall that's pachos miyud is not even halachically a wall. Therefore, in order to allow it to be considered a wall, what do I need? Pachos mishlosha tefachim in ilo lo. Rabosai, halach lemaisa, if I don't have a wall, then the criteria to make it into a wall are much stricter. Therefore, lemaisa, in order to make a wall that is less than 9 tefachim into a wall, I need it to be lavud. I need it to be within 3 tefachim of the excavation. Next. Haisa gavah me'esrim amah. I have a sukkah that has 120 amos. Ubana ba'omen. I will say, it's another fascinating case. And what happens? I build a pillar in the middle of the sukkah. I will say, this is picture 25. I build a pillar in the middle of the sukkah. Shehu gavah asara tefachim. V'yesh b'hechshah sukkah. So I will say, this is very interesting. So now I have a sukkah that has 120 amos. And in 25... I mean, this guy is playing with us. You know, at this point in time, this is really like, you know, come on. So what happens? So he's building a platform in the middle of the sukkah. The platform itself is 10 tefachim high and is zayin by zayin. So the box itself, the platform itself, actually has the necessary height and the necessary area for a sukkah. The boss said, watch this. This is going to blow your mind. So some rabbi wanted to say it's a kasher sukkah. What? Why, we'll see the whole thing, but right now let's focus on the Itztava. Why is it a kasher sukkah? Savra Abai Lemeimar, good asik mechitzta. So Abai wanted to say, why is it a good sukkah? Rabbi Osai, there is another halacha l'moshe misinai. And what is the halacha l'moshe misinai? It's something called good asik mechitzta. Good asik mechitzta means, we'll say, if you take a look at picture 25, that we allow, you see that Itztava, that box has walls. That box has walls. The sides are called walls. There's a halacha l'moshe misinai that says that you can extend walls upwards. So Abaye says that maybe this platform has the ability to form its own kasher sukkah within this greater area of a nine. Because remember, this is a sukkah that's lamala me'esr mamo, which is not kasher. I have my platform now that Zion by Zion has 10 tefachim in height. Maybe the halacha l'mosh we've seen, I have good asik. Good asik literally means take it upwards. Take the walls upwards, extend them, and that's, you can see the dotted lines extending upwards. Extend those halachic walls all the way up to the schach, and boom, when I'm sitting on that itztava, I'm sitting within a kasher sukkah. Look at Rashi. Good asik mechitzda. Shel amud shemi bachutz saviv. So take the walls of the outer walls of the box. Hag biyem asara sevivos rosho. V'harayesh kan gof hayud. V'chashuva sukkah al rosho. V'dofnei amudof noseh al yidei good asik. Uschach shel mala kasher. La de'ina lamala mechaf mirosho. Because also remember again, when you extend these walls upwards, the schach right above it is okay. Why? Because that schach is besoch, is within 20. Amalei Rava. Rava says, "By what are you talking about?" But inon mechitzos hanikaros veleka. Rava says that case is not going to work. Yes, there is a halacha Moshe Yisina of good asik. There is such a halacha that says that you could extend imaginary walls that create halachic realities. Sukkah is different because says Rava, by sukkah you need mechitzos hanikaros. By sukkah, you need recognizable mechitzos. It's not enough to have halachic walls. You need to have actual physical walls. Now, where Rava knows that from, we'll discuss later on. So Gemara says, turn around, bottom. So we'll say, now that the Gemara quoted this case, the Gemara is going to quote a number of different cases related to this. Na'atz arba'a kundisin, v'sichech agabana. That's another very interesting case. If you took four poles, kundisin are poles. You took four poles or four pillars, and what happened? You put schach on top of them. So we'll say, I have no walls, no actual walls. I just put schach on top of four pillars. Rabbi Yaakov makshir, the Chachamim suppose. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kasher, and the Chachamim say it's possible. So we'll say, what's going on over here? Amar Rav Huna says, machlokes al sfas hagag. The machlokes case is where you're placing these pillars on the edge of the rooftop. So we'll say, look at picture 26. Rav Huna says, what's the case over here? I'm taking four pillars, I'm placing them on the edges of the roof. So Rav Huna says like this. According to Rav Yaakov, he says, good asik mechitzta. What does Rav Yaakov say? We'll say, this is a good, it's a kasher sukkah. Why? Because what do? We take the walls of the building, good asik, and extend them upwards. So you have a kasher sukkah. For Rabbanan Savri, lo amrinon good asik mechitzta. On the other hand, the rabbis say that we do not say good asik mechitzta. Rabbi said, why would the rabbi say we don't say good asik mechitzta? Probably because of what Rava said before, which was what? By sukkah you need mechitzos hanikaros. By sukkah you need recognizable mechitzos. But if you choose to place these four pillars in the middle of the roof, Rabbi said, that's picture number 27, then what? Divrei hakol psula. Everybody agrees such a sukkah is possible. Why, Rabosai? Because you don't have the ability to say good asik mechitzta. Why? Because you can only say good asik mechitzta when you are positioning your sukkah on the natural external parts of the wall. But if you're building in the middle of the roof, you can't say good asik mechitzta. So Rabosai, again, according to Rav Huna, in Rav Huna's model, both Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon agree that you could say good asik mechitzta as long as the poles were positioned by the outer rim of the building. But if it's on the middle of the building, everybody agrees it's possible. Rav Nachman comes along and says, Rav Huna, I think you're wrong. Rav Nachman Amar be'emtsa hagag machlokes. So Nachman says no. The machlokes between Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon is where is only when you build the sukkah in the middle of the building. Aye, but the question is, Ibay lehu be'emtsa hagag machlokes al asas hagag l'divrei hakol k'shera. So Rav Nachman, what does that mean? Are you telling me then Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon only disagree on a sukkah that was constructed in the middle of the building, but they would agree that what? That if you built it along the perimeter, if you place the poles on the perimeter on each of the corners, that the sukkah would be good? Oh, Dilma, or are you telling me, Bein Bezu u Bein Bezu Machlokes? Or are you telling me that the Machlokes of Yaakov and the Rabbanon is in both cases, which the Gemara says, Teiku. So we'll say, Rav Huna's position is clear, that Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon agree when the poles are positioned on the corners, that the sukkah is good because of good asik, and they agree, and their Machlokes, is in the case, Rav Huna says that if they put it on the poles, that's the machlokes case. Rav Yaakov says it's good. Rabbanan say it's not good. Rav Yaakov holds a good osik. Rabbanan don't hold good osik by sukkah. But if you built it in the middle, everyone agrees that lemaisa the sukkah is not good. Rav Nachman wants to say, we're not sure what Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman says the machlokes case isn't everybody builds it in the middle, but we don't know what Rav Nachman holds in the case of the corners. So the Gemara goes by to Meisvei. Gemara doesn't raise a kasha. Na'atz dalet kundisin ba'ares. If they went ahead and you planted four posts in the ground, v'sichech al gabon, and you placed the schach on top of them, Rabbi Yaakov, machsh Rabbi Yaakov says it's good, v'chacham in post, and the chacham says it's not good. Rabbi said, this is not building on a roof. This is just building on the earth. So what do you see from here? V'ha'aretz, v'ke'emtze ha'gag dami, v'kamach shi Rabbi Yaakov. Tiyufta d'rafuna tiyufta. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Putting four posts on the earth is just like putting it on the middle of the rooftop, and yet what? Rabbi Yaakov says it's good. So we'll say, what do you see from here? This refutes Rafuna's position. Because what did Rafuna say? Rafuna suggested that everyone agreed that when you put the posts in the middle of the roof, even Rabbi Yaakov will agree that Lamais is not kosher. Kamashon, that's not the case. So the Gemara goes weiter. Va'od be'emtzohu depligi. Furthermore, again, the Braisa says that when do they argue? They argue in the case of where you place the posts in the middle. But if you place the posts on the side of the rooftop, everyone agrees that it's kosher. So the Gemara says, Lema tehevit yufta de Rafuna betarti. Say that this refutes Rafuna on both parts, on both counts. Rafuna says, in reality, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbanon disagree in both cases, both when you planted the poles in the middle of the roof as well as when you planted the poles on the corners. So why did I go ahead and state the machlokis as it regards the placing of the poles in the middle of the roof? To teach you the strength of Rabbi Yaakov's position that even what? That Lamaisa he holds that even if you plant the poles in the middle of the roof, the sukkah is still kosher. And I will say why that is will remain to be seen. Ten Rabbanon. Na'az arba'a kundisin ba'aretz. If you placed four poles on the earth, v'sichich al gabon, and you put schach on top of them, Rabbi Yaakov says, ro'in kol she'ilu yichak kov yachal kov yishma tevach lakam tevach lakam nidonin mishum diyumat v'im lav ein nidonin mishum diyumat. So I'll say this is very quickly. We had this in Erevin. If you remember again, we had a problem in Erevin. If you have a well and you want to draw water from that well on Shabbos, what's the problem? A well often has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid, but the area in which the well is situated is a Rishus HaRabim. So how do you draw water from the Rishus HaYachid well into the Rishus HaRabim? So remember again, Chazal gave this concept of the Tiyumar. The Tiyumar is a two-part post that has a tefach going in each direction. If you place four diyumadin, that creates a rabbinic enclosure around the well, and lemaisa you could draw water, because you've essentially enclosed the air, making it to Rosh Sayachid, you could draw the water. Rabbi Yaakov comes along and says the following. If you have four poles, those four poles could create proper enclosure for a sukkah as long as what? I will say the assumption is what kind of poles are you using? If you take a look at picture, this is picture 28. We assume poles are circular. If you could imagine if there's enough space within that pole to be able to chisel out a diyumad, a perpendicular type of pole that has a tefach of space going in each direction, Rabbi Yaakov says, that creates an enclosure. So we'll say what's coming out over here is that when Rabbi Yaakov allows you to go ahead and make these enclosures for the purpose of sukkah, he's not really using good asik. Now we know that already. How do we know that he's not really using good asik? Because the moment that he's saying that it doesn't have to be positioned on the corner of the roof, or the moment that he says you can use poles in the middle of the ground, indicates it's not good asik. What is this? So Rabbi Yaakov says the following. He says, "V'imlav eni dum shai Rabbi Yaakov omer diyuma diyumade suka tefach v'rachachomim omrim ad shubo shtaim kilchasu shisha safil tefach." So what the Rabbi comes out is the following. This will stop. There's fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon say for a sukkah you need a minimum of two full walls as well, and the third wall must be at least a tevach. We'll explore that later. Rabbi Yaakov says no. What do you need? A minimum? You need four poles. Each which satisfy the basic shear of the yumad, which means you need four poles that at least they don't have to be chiseled out, but can be chiseled out and form four diyumadim. Four diyumadim also will be four perpendicular posts which have an amma of space going in each direction. According to Rabbi Yaakov, if you have four of those, Lemaisa, that is enough to create Hechsher Sukkah. Shabbosai, what it comes out is Lemaisa, what we thought originally was a machlokis about good osik with Rabbi Yaakov is not really good osik. It's a new novel approach to Rabbi Yaakov that Rabbi Yaakov holds that halacha Lemaisa, Rabbanon hold that a minimum share of a Sukkah is two full walls, one third wall, that's a tefach. Rabbi Yaakov says, even if you have four diyumadin, what works for the well for enclosure on Shabbos works to create real definals for Sukkah as well. Shabbosai, we'll stop over here. Quick announcement. then Sion has compiled the first set of review sheets for our first two dapim, our first three dapim of, for Wednesday and Thursday. If you want a copy, then Sion has the one. We have a good chazara over Shabbos as well. We'll keep this one going forward.